Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 133 for Monday, July 13th, 2020.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. We have some crazy news for you.
Crazy news? We're going to talk about pizza is delicious. Some COVID bleach cocktail. Stolen car. Or two. Stream of wheat. And a pie attack.
I like the puns.
A lot of puns this week.
A lot of puns.
Let me talk about some other random shit in there. We just chose not to call it out. You know how we roll.
Yeah, this random shit. We didn't make a specific... random shit segment this week, but... There's plenty in there. Don't worry. We bullshit enough.
Per usual.
Rob, Robert, you're Robert. I'm Rob.
Sometimes.
Robert, so, you know, not to brag,
yeah,
but this will make officially 2 weeks in a row we've recorded a podcast.
It was one of those things where I had to think about it to make sure it was actually going to happen. And then I was glad to hear it. I was a little bit taken aback that it was going to be 2 weeks in a row because... We've kind of fallen out of that rhythm, but I feel like this is the start of something big again.
It really is. This is how you know that we're beating COVID.
We're beating it back with a very large stick.
We're not letting it get us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, not at all. Now, we've done some more venturing out and, you know, a little bit of those things. Still being uber cautious, but it's not like it was a couple months back where there was a lot of fear. It's still there, but. And I've had terrible allergies, and I finally found a medicine that helped, because every time I would start to feel the pressure on my chest, I was like, oh, I'm going to die.
I got the COVID.
It always happened after being outside at baseball. We're sitting out there for 3 hours, or yeah, there's double headers. It's 5 hours. So doing that, and then rest of the day and for a couple of days. And then this last one, it was really, really lingering. So I thought, I got to try something else. Yeah. But I didn't have any fever or any of the other stuff, but it just... had that pressure and pain in my chest. So I switched from the Allegra to Claritin.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, good. Well, I am officially just happy for you that you don't have COVID.
Yeah, me too.
That you know of anyway. Take up to 2 weeks for symptoms to appear.
I know. It could be.
I haven't had my brain poked with the swab in a few months. So who knows? I could have it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's fine. Anything else going on? Work going okay still? It's Friday. It's
basically just like a common cold, apparently. Work was great. Work was work. And I left at like 2:30 today. I'm like, you know what? Last week, I worked till almost 7 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah.
And this week.
Late.
So this week, I made up for it. So which is very exciting. Instead of recording at 9 o'clock, we're recording at 4 o'clock. And, I don't have to worry about being forced to go to my brother-in-law's
against your will.
Everybody's, well, you know, they came and they picked me up. It was fun. I went over there and as if you listen to last week's episode, you can tell that I was in a pretty happy mood toward the end of it. Even Kelly noticed that. And this week I hopefully will be as well. But at least I don't have to go anywhere.
They finally finished Hamilton, though, right?
I did. We watched it all in one night. We watched a little bit while the kids were, I don't know, doing something. And then we watched the rest of it after they went to sleep. So we watched the whole thing. And have you seen it?
I didn't watch it. Everybody else did. And then by the time I got there, it was already half done. Like, I can't sit and watch something else that I know somebody has already seen. It's just a weird hang up. Like, if
Melissa's somebody that'll watch something more than once, though.
I know, but I won't watch it. And then she's got this pausing thing, and we probably talked about that before. She's got to pause it. And,
yeah.
Did you see what happened there? Yes, I did. And then I instantly lose interest as soon as it's paused, because I'm involved in the show. I'm involved in whatever's going on.
Yeah.
And then you pause it, and then it breaks that, you know, it breaks that trance. It's like when you get the hypnotized and they snap their fingers in front of you. It's over. It's like, all right, well, now I'm not part of the show anymore. So never mind. I can't watch it. So maybe I'll watch it sometime. I've heard a lot of good things and everybody seems to like it, but
it's really good.
I just haven't gotten around. Too much singing, I think.
Well, it is
a lot of rapping in there, I heard. So
it's like rap singing.
I don't think they really rapped back then, so that's throwing me off a little bit too, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it's still a musical, though. I mean, and why does it need to sound like music from the 1700s?
Like, is it 1700s rap? How do you
it's
know
just what somebody with a harpsichord and they're just singing in British accents the whole time? That sounds terrible. That sounds banging like the worst musical ever.
A little fife, a little pan flute made out of bamboo. Like, I'm sure they had something.
Oh, well. Like a little no thank you.
They had this thing. It was another show she was watching because she likes these old shows. I can't remember. It was something to do with that same time period. It was Turn, I think. It was on Netflix or AMC a couple years back. It was George Washington Spies, and there's a guy playing this thing, and he had this crank, and he's basically plucking these strings and pushing these buttons while winding this crank. It's a pretty cool little thing, but that I can get into because it's a little bit more realistic, I guess, to what actually happened. Not like I could tell you no, but I know they didn't rap. So
whatever. I'm gonna get Kelly and Melissa on board that we need to go once Broadway's back open up. Go over to New York and pay a boatload of money to see it live, and you're gonna be outnumbered. You're just gonna have to do it.
Now that I would probably do. Go to see it. I would be open-minded enough to be able to do it, and it'll be fine. I'm sure if I watch it, I'd like it. I don't know that I've seen anybody that's ever watched it and went eh. So it would just be me if I really kept that, and that would be without seeing it. So that would be bullshit too. So I might as well.
You're full of shit. Okay,
pretty much.
Let's do beer.
Not full of beer yet though. But no, I should be.
We should.
All right,
let's do it.
Hey bartender, another beer.
Cue the almost fucking drop.
Still. I almost hit this one.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
But luckily, my finger wasn't that fat that I completely missed it.
Now the listener has my phone number. She was blowing it up, blowing my office phone up today. I still haven't called her back, but...
Oh, no.
I think she got a car.
I guess I can't ask you.
She bought a car, and I don't know what she needed me to do, but...
She wanted you to print some money to pay for it.
Yeah, that's not how that works. That's some bad news. Some bad news for you. No. In fact, banks are limiting how much coin they're giving to customers right now because the Treasury
is like a change shortage.
Well, the Treasury is limiting how much coin they're shipping, so it's kind of like one of those. Anyway, what I have this week?
Yeah, what do you have?
I got a new brewery.
Yeah,
our new best friends.
New friends.
Yep, they're friends of the show here. And it's from Grand Armory Brewing. They're based out of Grand Haven, Michigan. Oh. And I have a Nutter Your Business Stout. It's a peanut butter stout,
ooh,
Robert. And it says, built on a chocolatey milk stout base, the peanut butter makes this beer taste like your new favorite proprietary cookie. If anyone asks why you'd want a beer that tastes like dessert, tell them it's Nutter Your Business.
Oh, get that's it? Funny.
Yeah, I like when beer descriptions have puns in them. And this is 25 IBUs, 5% alcohol by volume, so not particularly boozy, but a nice desserty craft beer. And I've tasted a little bit, and I'm going to taste more, tell you what I think about it, give you my honest appraisal of this beer.
Can't wait.
First off, it has a strong peanut butter aroma. It's almost like... It's almost like literally sticking your nose up to a jar of peanut butter. So I'm hoping that the taste of the peanut butter is as strong as I think it might be when I smell the beer. So we're going to find out if it lives up to it.
That happens a lot where you get something and it just doesn't quite meet what you're telling or what it's telling you that it's going to taste like. The vanillas and some of the other flavors don't really jump out like they should.
And this one jumps out. I'm not going to lie. It's
good.
First thing you get up front is some strong notes of both peanut butter and chocolate. So it's kind of like a peanut butter cup.
Yeah,
which we're both big fans of. But you're left with this very strong lingering peanut butter taste at the end. It's actually a really good beer. It's one of those like you kind of have to stop after one or maybe two of them just because it's a very, very sweet desserty beer. But if it's like after a meal or if you're just looking for something, you know, to quench your sweet tooth and also that is a beer and has alcohol in it, this is a really good one. I rated it a four and a quarter after my first taste on Untappd. I might have to up that to maybe 4.5 though. It's pretty good.
That's good. I haven't been able to get any of the really good beers like that, but I haven't ventured out as far as I should be. And I was close to Total Wine and almost went, but Ben and I were out, so I'm not going to drag him in stores. He doesn't need to be. So,
oh well. Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing with the kids too. It's like, you know, do they really need to go with us? Do they really need to go into the store? And the answer, and to be quite honest with you, I don't think they've been in any stores yet since this whole thing started. I think it's, you know, we have masks for them. And we've never had to put them on them because we've never taken them anywhere where they needed it. So,
well, we went to Dick's today to get some new shoes because his other shoes have been old, and he's been going back to baseball camp. He started last week and he goes back again next week, and his shoes have just been, you know, they're still fine, but they're old. So we decided to go ahead and get him some new ones today. So he went in with his mask and he has no problems wearing it, and he'll put it on if we go anywhere, really. He'll put it on just to have it, so he doesn't mind it. But I know some kids are probably sensitive to that feeling, and it probably makes them a little bit more scared. So I'm always curious when I see kids, and you see them on TV, or you see, you know, when we're out, we'll see kids walking around with their masks, and you can't help but feel a little bit sad for them. Like, should they have that? But they all seem to be, you know, doing better with it than most adults are, so that's good.
Yeah, you know, well, like I was at Home Depot today, and I don't know if that of our conversation about Home Depot will make the show, but that's what I noticed too. It's just like every time I go out and go into a store, less and less people are wearing face masks. I'm like, whatever. I'm so over it at this point. Like, I'll continue to do the right thing and wear the face mask. If everybody else doesn't want to, just stay the fuck away from me, I suppose.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I've got this week, I'm going to go back to our brand new friends at Sycamore Brewing, which I had last week when I had a cans are still here, the Beach Shack Blonde with the coffee and vanilla that I liked. And this week I went and I grabbed a couple more of their beers when I saw them on the shelf. And I got this time the Sycamore Brewing Mountain Candy IPA. So it's their, again, Sycamore Brewing Mountain Candy IPA. It's hot bursted and double dry hopped. Juicy flavors of stone fruit and rainbow candy with notes of citrusy dankness. I don't know what any of that means, but I've had a sip of it just to kind of get a taste so that I could rate it in Untappd, and I'm going to give it a bit more of a deliberate taste and see what I can actually pull out of there. I have no idea what stone fruit is.
Get that dankness going.
Yeah, well, dankness, I can deal with that anytime. Although as I've gotten older, it's been a bit more difficult. Alexa, what is stone fruit?
Stone fruit is usually defined as a fruit with a stone or hard endocarp, as a peach or plum, drupe.
Maybe that hard, big old seed in the middle of it. I'm going to try it. Smells like your typical fruity IPA. Get some citrus in there.
Stone fruit doesn't sound like something I'd want in a beer, though, typically.
Yeah.
Throw that out there.
It's good. It's got, not sure what rainbow candy is either, but it's got almost like the first flavor that I get is almost like a pineapple, and it doesn't say anything about that. Pineapple, a little bit of tangerine, something like that. So it's got some tartness, a little bit of sweetness overlaying it on top of it again. I rated it a 3.75. I do like it. I got a couple of their IPAs to have one this week and one next week, so I'm looking forward to trying that to see how it tastes. But I like it. It's a perfect summertime, you know, hot outside drink for me. It's not heavy. It doesn't say, let's see if it says anything about 7.5% alcohol by volume. So it's a decent brew with some alcohol in it. And I'd give it a shot if you can find it. Sycamore Brewing Company, Mountain Candy IPA.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Candy of the mountains.
No, that's like, yeah, I had no idea what that was. It just sounded cool, and it said Sycamore on it. So it seemed like it was something that was worth a try.
Sounds very exciting. All right, well, that's enough talking about fucking beer. Let's get to the crazy news, Robert.
That's what everybody's here for.
That's what they're here for. They want to hear about the crazy news. Really nailed it.
That's perfect. Week.
Yeah, no, this is new. We're new. This is... Oh, right, boy.
Where's our first one take us?
Our first one's about my favorite food.
Fucking pizza looks good. Pizza. I kept thinking this was Little Caesars, by the way, and I had a double and triple take, and it's not Little Caesars, so...
It certainly isn't. Well, it says little. It's a Little Rock pizza place, so maybe that's what... Maybe you just were seeing that like out of the corner of your eye, and you thought that that's Little Caesars. So this is going to take us to Little Rock, which I assume we're going to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Where a man shoots through a door of a Little Rock pizza place after not getting enough toppings. Can't say I blame the guy. Michael Brown became upset with an employee because he was not putting enough toppings on the pizza. You go cheap on the pepperoni, I'll fucking shoot you.
Yeah.
According to police reports, officers responded to Pie 5 Pizza, a pizzeria located on Bass Pro Parkway at 4:02 p.m. on Monday, June 29th of this year, by the way, in reference to a disturbance with a weapon. When officers arrived, they made contact with customers and employees inside Pie 5 Pizza, who stated no one was injured, so apparently it wasn't a very good shot. A Pie 5 Pizza employee said she waited on the suspect, later identified as 44-year-old Michael Brown, and he ordered a pizza. Brown became upset with the employee because she was not putting enough toppings on the pizza. The employee said she attempted to explain to Brown about the portion sizes and that they are measured out by management. The store manager measures each...
Bullshit.
By hand. Yeah, exactly. It's, okay.
Like Subway, where they have the...
Yeah, they grab it. Stuff and they got it in the little canisters. They just grab it by their hand. Yeah. The employee then made contact with her manager via phone and proceeded to let Brown talk to the manager. She said he became upset and threw the phone at her. Oh. Following, Brown walked out to his car with an unknown female. The female attempted to keep Brown from walking back up to the restaurant, but was able to get around her. The assistant manager at the restaurant locked... What is happening here? Oh, hey, George. George is here. Locked the doors before Brown was able to get back in. The employee said Brown pulled on the doors and became more upset when they were locked. Brown then pulled out a gun and fired a shot into the door while standing on the patio area. Brown then fled the area in a white van. When the other officers arrived on the scene, they were able to access the restaurant's camera system, were able to identify Brown as the suspect. Officers responded to Brown's address and located the white van in the driveway, but were unable to make contact with anyone. Officers were then notified that Brown turned himself into the 12th Street substation. He turned himself into a substation.
So three more pieces of pepperoni could avoid it all.
That's all it should have taken. You know, I'm thinking though, you know,
attempted murder for three pieces of pepperoni.
Well, this is the thing. So it isn't murder though. So I feel like,
well, because he didn't kill anybody.
Well, the best thing that happened though was that the assistant manager locked the door, because if the doors had been unlocked and he was able to go into the restaurant with the gun, I mean, that's like, it could have been a lot worse. You know, nobody got shot, so therefore it's funny and it's crazy news.
Makes it crazy news when nobody died.
It's
unless it's World News Daily Report, then we will actually use death as something that's meant to be laughed.
Sometimes
at.
Death is funny and we talk about it, you know, but you gotta be careful. I remember that one time, I forgot, it was early on, when there was a story about like some guy that died in an apartment fire, and you put that or something, you put that at crazy news, like, Robert, this story's terrible. Like, this is...
well, we'll
old
go
man
with it.
Dies in, old man dies in apartment fire. Ha ha.
Couldn't get out.
See, it's funny now because it's been a while.
Door was locked from the outside. That's hilarious.
Oh, man. Where are we going?
Didn't pay his rent, so the landlord locked it from the outside, and then it burned down.
You threw a Molotov cocktail in through the window and fried the guy.
That'll teach you not to pay your bill, son of a bitch.
That's hilarious.
Goddamn veterans.
So where are we going now?
Well, we're going to go to Florida, Rob, because it wouldn't be a Two Bobs episode without that.
No, man.
I saw this, and I haven't read this one, and I wonder if it's related, but I saw another one very similar to this dealing with a church that did much the same thing. This one takes us to our friends at clickorlando.com, where Florida men accused of selling bleach as a miracle COVID-19 cure. Substance marked as miracle mineral solution.
Oh, no.
I had to slow down on that one, otherwise I would have stepped all over those words. According to a complaint in St. Petersburg, Florida, Florida legislator said Wednesday that he is recovering from the coronavirus, but his parents are now infected, while a man and his three sons are facing federal charges that they illegally sold a bleach-like chemical mixture as a miracle cure for the coronavirus and other diseases.
Oh, good.
Such as syphilis and gonorrhea, it's probably.
A cure-all.
State Representative Chevron Jones, 36, tested positive last week after showing up at the emergency room with fever, chills, and trouble breathing. Should have just taken a Claritin. Broward County Democrat said Wednesday he's feeling better, but is fearful for his 71 and 74-year-old parents, who both tested positive this week. This is a lot like the apartment fire. I speak with them 3 and 4 times a day just to ensure that they're not experiencing any symptoms. The scariest part about all of this is that the hospitals and their capacity filling up, and then the state not seeming to take this virus as serious as they should.
Nope.
See. Meanwhile, federal officials announced Wednesday they've charged 4 men with selling a fake cure. Substance marked as miracle mineral solution, I did that right twice, was sold nationwide through an entity called the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing. This is the one I heard about.
Oh. Did they send any to Pennsylvania Avenue? Or?
No, I don't think so. plenty there. A Miami federal judge in April ordered the self-styled church to stop selling the substance, but it was ignored. Charging the criminal complaint are Mark Grennan, 62, and his sons Jonathan Grennan, 34, Jordan Grennan, 26, and Joseph Grennan, 32. They're charged with conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to violate the FDA Cosmetic Act, and criminal contempt. Records of Miami Federal Court Wednesday did not list attorneys for any of these guys because they probably couldn't afford it. They face a maximum of between 14 and more than 17 years in prison if convicted of all charges. So the solution sold by the Grennans became bleach when ingested. It's typically used for such things as treating textiles, industrial water, pulp, and paper. So these sons of bitches just took something and figured, I mean, they probably had to hear it somewhere that that would have worked. I guess if the disease is inside your body, you might as well take some bleach and kill it. Wipe it down with bleach, you might as well drink it.
Yeah, you can ingest disinfectant and disinfect your whole body. So.
Yeah, well, they also market it as not only a coronavirus cure, but also a cure for cancer, autism, MS, Alzheimer's, and AIDS, according to one complaint.
Wow, you can get rid of AIDS with that.
Holy shit. All that stuff. Yeah, if we had only started with that back in the 80s, we wouldn't have had all that trouble.
Shit, send that to Magic Johnson. Too soon?
That's right. No. He's probably trying now. 30
years later. He's doing all right.
He owns the Lakers, I guess.
Yeah, look at that.
Or part of it. He owns something. Maybe it's not the Lakers. Although I think he is. He was involved in there somewhere, but I think he quit.
Well, he played for the Lakers.
He did, but then he was also part owner, and I think he retired from it. Or he was the general manager. They botched something up, so he decided to leave.
That's for the best.
Probably. They weren't doing that hot. So it was a good chance to get out of there.
They haven't been the same ever since the Pistons whomped them in 2004. Or something like that in the finals. I don't know. I think they've actually won the finals since then, but that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't.
No. All right. Well, and we're going to Oregon, where a man was driving a stolen car and crashes into a woman driving another stolen car. What are the odds? that you
and they were probably dating, and I don't know if any of them one was topless, but yeah, we'll find out.
I'll be disappointed if everybody has been wearing all their clothes since this happened, but we'll see. Police chase in Oregon ended in a driver fleeing authorities in a stolen car crashed into a woman driving another stolen car. The debacle took place Monday when police responded to a report of a stolen Toyota Land Cruiser driving through downtown Newburgh, according to the Newburgh Dundee Police. A pursuit ensued. That's what I meant to say. It lasted for several blocks until the driver crashed into another car near an intersection. Cops identified the driver of the first car as Randy Lee Cooper of Portland. After taking Cooper into custody, the police realized that the second car was also reported stolen in an unrelated crime 3 weeks ago. The driver of that car, Kristen Nicole was also found to be under the influence. She had a substance in her person that was influencing her ability to drive. Cooper was charged with unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, attempting to elude police, assault, and reckless driving. Unfortunate. The girl looks pretty good, though, so it's unfortunate that it doesn't appear that at any point during this entire event, altercation, whatever you want to call it, she took her clothes off. She was dressed the entire time.
Finally.
I'm sorry, Robert. This is disappointing. They can't always be naked, right?
Well, sometimes they do.
Sometimes.
Not
this time, though. If it were in Florida, she would have been topless.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I found a couple of those. They got weird, so I didn't include them. But I was hoping to have a whole fleet of those. But I don't know. You should have seen the pictures of a couple of them. Decided against it. I had to use better judgment.
It's for the best. It's for everybody's benefit.
Yeah, but instead, I picked this one up.
No, this is good, and also makes me a little bit fearful of eating bread.
Well, that was what I was thinking. It's like I like to go to bakeries. You know, you go to the grocery store and you get the big brand, whatever they are, and maybe they're big brand, some are bigger, whatever. But I like to go to bakeries and I like to support my local bakers because I just like to eat carbohydrates. So anything having to do with the bakery, I'm all for it. So whether it's cookies, bread, scones, all those type of things. But then I came across this and I had to second guess that. Pizza. I think maybe those choices have not been quite what I expected. But this one, again, is also a New York Post, where a baker uses female urine from public toilets to make Goldilocks bread.
From public toilets. How do you gather urine from female toilets?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm gonna save this image to use in the show art, and I will tell you that image there of the little sample there with the bread behind it, the file name of the image is just p.jpg. Pretty funny. Stream of wheat.
Straight to the point.
That's right. An enterprising French baker is switching up her bread recipe. And I figured it was a guy. I think I initially said it was a baker and it was a guy. Maybe I was just thinking that. I don't know if I actually said it, but it seemed like it's something that a guy would do. And I'm a little bit surprised that this is a woman. But an enterprising French baker is switching up her bread recipe, or should we say her recipe, by using wheat fertilized with female urine harvested for public restrooms. Ooh. As long as it's not a porta potty, especially if it's been sitting in the sun, that's nasty.
Harvested.
Urine is a great fertilizer, said engineer and self-proclaimed eco-feminist Louise Rajouet, who regularly gathers piddle from female urinals in the 14th arrondissement of Paris, reported RT, whoever the fuck that is, RT.com. She's the brains behind Boucle d'Or, or Goldilocks Bread, Raquette's goal to break taboos over excrement. Did we just end it there and create a sustainable food cycle? According to a new study published by the French Urban Planning Agency, some 29 million loaves of urine utilized bread could be baked daily, saving farmers 703 tons of nitrogen employed in artificial fertilizers per day. Perhaps it's true what they say. The April showers bring May flowers. That's F-L-O-U-R-S.
April golden showers.
That's right. It's a neglected liquid, usually dismissed as waste, she said, adding that urine harbors
it nitrogen. It is waste. It's literally waste from our bodies.
Potassium. That's right. If it was meant to be in there, it would stay. And many other nutrients that plants extract from the soil. As such, it should be treated like a gold mine. Unless you got some sort of liver disease, then it's a brown mine. Going to the bathroom is literally flushing food potential down the toilet. When you pee in water, treatment plants remove the nutrients, she said. They do not return to the earth. The system is not circular. It's unknown how urine affects the taste of the bread. It's rumored sterility. This bread tastes like piss. When expelled from the human body, it has been the topic of much scientific debate. So to further ensure its cleanliness, raquette dilutes the bizarre ingredients 20 times before applying it to the wheat. That's better.
Oh, good. It's diluted. It's diluted.
Right. So you don't know you're eating piss, but you're actually doing it anyway. Although I guess they put cow shit as fertilizer. I mean, so is it? But I guess they don't really put that right into the bread.
Yeah, the cow shit doesn't go. They don't actually add it as an ingredient to the bread.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you hope they wash it when they pull it out of the ground. The decision to employ female wee-wee was part of... And why do they not use the guy's pee? What's wrong with the guy's pee? Yeah, why is it only the female?
Very sexist. These people are sexist.
That's right.
Racist and sexist.
Makes me want to throw a brick through a window. The decision to employ female wee-wee was part of what Raquette calls ecofeminism, which advocates using eco-friendly products to empower women. After the pee cycling program isn't her only eco-feminist initiative, the unorthodox inventor also MacGyvered a female urinal, nicknamed Marcel, which she says helps cut down on the wait time at women's bathrooms at public events. I'm going to click on that link and see what this Marcel is.
Let's see. I suppose I should do it too.
Oh, no, it's this big giant plastic thing. It's not really portable. It's just another port-a-john with a like walls around it. It's not really any different.
Weird. Like that.
That's dumb.
I'm not doing it.
No, it's dumb.
Yes, yeah, I refuse.
Just pee in the grass.
All right.
Shit. All righty.
Going to Texas now, Robert.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Houston.
And our friends
at a big rally down there.
Yeah, and our friends at World News Daily Report. Trump says there's gonna be millions.
Pile of garbage.
There's gonna be a million people at this rally.
Until they get rid of TikTok, there would be a million at all rallies, Rob.
That's true. That's true. And this is three Texas clowns accused of terrorist plot. Oh, this is our friend is at World News Daily Report. I should say that. Take from that what you.
We should warn you.
Take from that what you like. Three Texas clowns accused of terrorist plot for planning to throw ice cream pies at Donald Trump during rally. Three militant clowns were arrested this morning in Houston by the FBI anti-terrorist squad and accused of planning a pie attack against Donald Trump during one of the president's campaign rallies. The three suspects: 51-year-old Eric Sleeman Jr., 43-year-old Cesar Alonso Jimenez, and 48-year-old Timothy Smith were all arrested almost simultaneously by three FBI intervention squad as the result of a 3-month-long operation. I feel like there's some words missing there. Nicknamed Pastry Shield. Search warrants for the suspects' residences revealed lots of documentation concerning the president's various planned rallies, pizza, as well as dozens of pies and over 40 gallons, Robert, of whipped cream. Can you imagine the damage that could be done with that? See, triple pepperoni. I feel like that's enough pepperoni where you won't get shot if you own the pizza parlor that's making that. According to FBI spokeswoman Janet Davis, The suspects had meticulously planned their pastry attack and, as a form of political terrorism. They admitted that they planned to assault the president with pastries, claiming they wanted to attack his arrogance and vanity and discredit him in his function as president. Ms. Davis says the alleged non-lethality of the suspect's weapon is hardly a mitigating factor. It doesn't affect the nature of the charges against them. It's not a mitigating factor that they wouldn't actually kill the president. The law doesn't see any difference between edible and non-edible weapons. And what they were planning represents an assault on the presidency and democracy itself. What is that? Can you hear me? Hello? Robert? Mr. Kalibowski? Son of a bitch. Yeah, disconnected.
I don't know what happened.
In a rare burst of gratitude toward the FBI. I'm going to make this smooth, like we didn't just have a 10-minute break in the middle of the story. No. Robert's free internet for you.net went down. Where were
my we? $95 should have guaranteed me uptime.
You would think. In a rare burst of gratitude toward the FBI, President Trump tweeted this morning that the FBI finally did something useful for once, referring to the suspects as typical Democrat clowns.
Oh, no.
Literally, they're clowns. Mr. Sleeman, Mr. Jimenez, and Mr. Smith, all accused of plotting a terrorist attack and providing material support or resources for a terrorist attack. Mr. Sleeman, the presumed leader of the group, he's the kingpin, faces additional charges of soliciting support for a terrorist attack. They are to be judged in a single trial, which is set to begin in September in Houston.
Solicit some extra pepperoni on my pizza.
And if Trump needs some extra money, there is a story down here where the Saudi prince was offers 200 camels to spend the night with Ivanka.
If she wasn't my daughter, I'd be dating her.
That's seriously probably. We're not even going to go there.
We're not having pizza for dinner tonight. We're having tacos, Rob. And I had Taco Bell for lunch today, too.
So what are tachos?
Tachos? Didn't we talk about this?
I don't think so.
Okay. So you know what nachos are, right?
Yes, I know what the fuck
are. You can tell my Skype is refreshed because it's got the Nats background in there. Although I've turned it off repeatedly. So nachos and then tots. So tater tots instead of chips. You bake the tater tots.
Yeah.
And then when they're done, you put the tater tots on your plate.
Okay.
And then you put the ground beef, the cheese, the salsa, the sour cream, and all that shit on there. So instead of chips, it's tater tots.
Oh, that sounds delicious. So does Melissa make these?
She does.
Oh, man. Can she make some for me?
She does.
Well, I do like tater tots. They're very good. Things on them. I don't feel like it, though.
But instead of the chips, you do tater tots instead.
Yeah.
It's damn good.
I mean, they have the same thing at like Sonic. They have the tater tots with the chili and the cheese.
They
don't call them tachos though. There, that's the
well, because that's chili. You don't put chili on nachos. That's the thing.
Oh, I guess
you make it however you would make nachos, but instead of chips, you put the tater tots. Oh,
that sounds good. That does sound good. I don't know what we're having for dinner.
You should have tachos.
Probably pizza.
We've sent you pictures.
We don't have any tater. Well, we have like broccoli tots. We don't have any regular tater tots.
No, that's dumb. Like you can't do that.
I feel like you can't. It's not. It's not.
Oh, yeah. What would you put on broccoli tater tots? That would be anything remotely close to a nacho or a tacho. I guess it's
about. Do you have Jets pizza down there?
No, we have no Jets. We have no Mr. Pizza Bootleg. We have no Verner's. We have no.
Well, Mr. is a lot of things. Fago. Mr. Pizza Bootleg is just one location. Jets is more. I mean, they have. You know what? They're big in Michigan and they're big in Florida too, though.
Jets. Not here. We do have Little Caesars, which of course that's
The Illich's own Little Caesars. Well,
that's
Tigers.
A Michigan State. That's a Michigan treasure there.
Sure. I mean, they're based
on. I worked at Little Caesars when I was probably 15, maybe 14. Oh, I don't remember. Somewhere in there, around 15.
Yeah, but they made regular pizza now. It wasn't just $5 hot and ready.
Yeah. Oh, I like the bread, whatever it is. Put the butter and then the garlic stuff on there. I might have to go just get a big old box of that tomorrow.
There you go.
Really is good. I just like bread. That's
I like bread really as long as there isn't urine in it.
Well, how do you know?
I guess you don't. You can't taste it. Just don't eat bread from France.
20 parts urine to 80 parts water and just be done.
Oh boy. All right. Where are we going? Oh, we're done.
That's
we're done.
It.
This is the this
right,
is
we're
the
going downhill, Rob. We're going down the toilet where the urine yeah. should
we
go.
We gotta do the recap before your internet goes down again.
Right.
We're on borrow.
I gotta go up and get tachos.
You're a ticking time bomb here between your internet and the tachos. We gotta get you upstairs.
Yeah. Well, it came back quickly, thankfully.
Oh, thank goodness.
It was only a 10-minute delay, and I could hear. So when it went down, and I thought, okay, well, is it just where I'm sitting? And then I could hear boom, 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 boom upstairs, because everybody coming downstairs because they're all hibernating in their rooms, and the internet goes down. They come running downstairs looking for me. Who's going to fix it?
Well, it's you.
I said, well, it's right. It's broke. You're going to have to find something else to do. So they just sat there staring.
They didn't know what to do.
No, what to do. So Ben, like I said, Ben's making Legos. So he's going to be mad when he finds out it came back as soon as he came and sat down to do the Legos.
Oh, he'll be all right.
But, oh, well.
Legos is good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Give him a pack of matches and some Legos. He'll be fine for a while.
There you go. Yeah, put some water in a dish.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, right. Shit. Well, hopefully we'll see everybody again next week.
Oh,
and
man.
We'll do our best to find some more non-COVID stories if we can.
Three in a row. Can you imagine? Yeah.
That'd be good. I feel like that'd be a milestone. Great.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we like to remind our listeners, too. You can find us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast.
Yeah.
On the interwebs at twobobs.com.
Right.
Yeah, we pay for that domain name. You should visit it. And we have a phone number, too.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Yes, we do. Elderly listener, that's 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627. We take voicemails, we take text messages, and we don't really do live because we never know when we're going to actually sit down here to record.
That's true.
We really can't have a live number. We might try it one day.
We've done it.
Just let everybody know. Yeah, it's been a little while, but then nobody ever calls. Nobody likes to call because they say, oh, I don't want to hear my voice because yours sound like shit, so mine's going to sound worse.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that, but they should because it doesn't really matter.
I'm all right.
Leave a message.
It. Yeah.
Especially a voicemail. I feel like it compresses the audio enough that you don't know what somebody sounds like. Just leave the voice. Yeah. Nobody's going to care, really. I mean,
no, we can't.
If we can do it, you can do it.
Yeah,
leave a message.
You can't really tell how stupid you sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sound.
You know, but not everybody else. And you already knew that.
Send us an SMX text message.
Yeah, we do take text messages. And hopefully it takes pictures, but I don't know. Have those kind of...
Send us nudes.
We don't have those kind of... Yeah, exactly.
Send us nudes and we'll let you know if we got them.
After 4 years, we haven't got one nudie picture.
And I've asked for nudes several times. It's disappointing.
Yeah. It's true. It'd be good. We might be funnier if we got nudes.
We might be. Something only one way to find out.
That's right. Well, hopefully see you next week.
All right, see you next week.
Worth a try.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. Oh, words of their own, not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.